Well, hey everyone, here we are for our culture segment, and yet again, another fun new person to introduce to you, who I actually met like last year because we were at the same event together in
That's
San Francisco.
Right. Yes.
I have Kathy Lipp here. Hey, Kathy. Welcome back to Colorado.
So glad to be with you.
You come here a lot, though, because you're always on our daily broadcast.
I am. I really, I can't get enough of them. What can I say?
You are just a fan favorite. So I hear, anyway, and now you will be on Boundless.
I'm very excited to be on Boundless. I really am.
I was telling Kathy, we don't just let anyone on Boundless, people. Okay, we have very strict screening procedures. And so, but she made it through the cracks.
I've been coming to Focus, I think, for 6 years, and this is my first time on Boundless. So
we're hardcore.
You are.
You know, we're, but now we're deciding, you know, this isn't just about, we're not just going to have the hipsters on our show. We're going to have people that like legitimately are doing things with their lives. So that.
I've got the hipster glasses. That's as far as I go. I didn't know they were hipster glasses until I got them.
Well, and it helps that we're from the same town. I grew up in San Jose, California.
Which is mind-blowing to me.
Very fun. So started out on the south side, bused down to Morgan Hill for school.
Okay.
And then ended up on east side, represent Independence High School.
You were hardcore.
Border of Milpitas, yeah. With a short little stint in Mountain View as well. So
you lived in some good places.
I know.
And I'm Southside San Jose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're from the same hood. I love that.
See, totally. So very fun. Well, you are, here's another thing we have in common. We both dislike clutter.
Yes.
So I was telling you before we started taping that I've been trying to declutter for 8 years. And I don't even know. I'm trying to think if I even have one collection of anything, but just like my life. I used to, Kathy, when I was just out of college, be able to move my entire life in a small Mazda.
Oh, wow.
And then I became an adult, and now my whole life is just overtaking
grown-ups
me.
Grown-ups can't do that.
So it's been kind of a sadness, like in realizing how, oh my goodness, yeah, this is, why do I have this stuff? And what's happened here? And why am I accumulating things when I don't like accumulating things? So,
well, and I was saying, it's just real life. You go through, you go to a conference, they hand you a bag, they hand you a notebook, they hand you a pen.
Yeah.
And there's so many more accessories to life.
Right.
You know, you have to have a cell phone, you have to have a computer.
Right.
All these have to's to just make it through the day. And so if you're not actively decluttering, you're collecting.
Well, and it's funny because even you were just mentioning the conference thing. If I go to a conference and I get the swag bag and I've got like books and CDs and whatever, it's hard for me to throw those things out. So all of a sudden I enter this process of like, who could really benefit from this?
Right.
And then I'm just like,
you're stuck.
Yeah. So then that's a full-time project that I got to do of figuring out who could, you know, and then getting it to them and stuff. And then it just ends up sitting somewhere. So
and that's one of the things we talk about in the book is that it's sometimes you can't wait until you know the right person to give something to.
Yeah.
You know, donating it to someplace, you can trust God to get it into the right hands.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be up to you, but I understand that responsibility, especially since we write books.
Yeah.
Books are pretty precious.
Well, actually, I've written just one book.
Oh, okay.
You've written 16.
Yeah.
Me, just one so far.
Well, I probably need more therapy than you do, so.
A second one is not yet, you know, no confirmation.
Okay,
on that.
So I was just speaking it into the into truth.
But
books.
Speaking of clutter, I do have my own book in my garage in boxes, you know, for if I go to speaking gigs or whatever.
It
so
is pretty funny. If you lift up our garage and you found out I wrote the book Clutter Free, you'd like, well, that's interesting. I can't even say the word.
No,
hypocrite.
That's good. But
you know, it's I mean, real life comes with a lot of stuff. It's pretty frustrating. I get it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I do want to make sure that I mention to folks, obviously talking to Kathy Lipp here, but she is really a speaker. She's an author. She's an expert in, I mean, because you've been on Focus, this makes sense and stuff. You've talked about everything just from like really inspiring, especially women out there to kind of take hold of their lives, you know, maximize kind of what God's given them and live in that space and, you know, doing it in a very real way. I know you've done stuff related to clutter, but also towards marriage and, you know, a bunch of other things going
on. It, to me, it's all about being purposeful in what you're doing.
Right.
Not
right.
letting life just happen to you,
yeah.
but taking active steps.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, that is cool. I want to talk to you about, you have a definition for clutter. What would you say clutter actually is?
I believe that clutter is indecision.
Okay.
And so it's, we don't know what to do with it. We mm-hmm. don't know the right person to give it to. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether we're going to use it again. Mm-hmm. So it's an indecision that mm-hmm. is just sitting there. And if you look at most of our kitchen counters, and by the yeah. way, I know you hate clutter.
I do.
I will say this, you know, this is not a, hey, I've done it perfectly, do it like I did. Mm-hmm. Clutter has been a real issue in my life. Yeah. My dad was a hoarder and not a, isn't that funny hoarder, but mm-hmm. like truly somebody who struggled mm-hmm. with possessions. Mm-hmm. And so I know that the indecision of I may want to use this again someday mm-hmm. or, but what if I need it or so-and-so gave it to me mm-hmm. and being stuck in that indecision
yeah.
to me is really what clutter represents.
Yeah. And so how did that like affect your ideas or just your opinions of stuff growing up? Because I know too, like I wouldn't say either of my parents were really hoarders, but they came out of the Depression. And
sure.
so I remember it was just like a completely natural thing to like wash out plastic bags
right.
and foil and
yeah.
that.
And oh then my I'm goodness, like, are on you my from own. A foil household too?
Totally. Yeah. So then it was funny because I like moved into spaces on my own or with roommates and stuff, and they're like, why is this foil in the dish drainer? And yeah. I'm like, because we got to reuse it, you know? And I never yeah, like, realized that people didn't do that.
I didn't realize it either.
Yeah.
Well, it was so interesting because I could look at my dad's stuff and mm-hmm. say, that's junk. Why mm-hmm. are you keeping that? We don't need computer parts from the 60s.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But I then realized, and it took me a much longer time to realize this, mm-hmm. I was doing it my own way. But mm-hmm. my things were like books and yeah. makeup and notepads mm-hmm. and we won't even talk about office supplies.
Oh, yeah.
I could lose my mind over office supplies.
Yeah.
So what is somebody else's trash mm-hmm. is your treasure and vice versa.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to spot in other people, mm-hmm. but it's much harder to recognize in yourself.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit because I want you to give us a few, I mean, you kind of this segues well into give us a few ideas of what some of the biggest clutter traps are out there. Because I think some people maybe don't understand even what clutter is as far as what's right. living in their own home.
Well, I think clothes mm-hmm. is a big one. Mm-hmm. And people think, well, if I can keep it all in my room or if I have enough closets,
yeah.
then it's not really affecting anybody.
Right.
But what I've come to understand is what is so much indecision.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that has been very helpful and I think is very helpful for people who deal with clutter is to really define who they are. Because
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of clothes, it's like, well, I'm kind of this personality on this day at mm-hmm. work. I'm this personality when I'm going out with my friends. I'm this when I'm going on a date. And when we can really hone in and be comfortable with who God created us to be mm-hmm. and how we want to represent that to the world, we can eliminate a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a long time when I was a speaker, I would have these blazers, like, because mm-hmm. I figured that's what speakers do. Mm-hmm. They're authoritarian. They're blazers. But when I really discovered, I'm not an educational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I am motivating and entertaining. Mm-hmm. That's who I am. And that's okay.
And motivating and entertaining is not blazers.
It's not right. blazers. Yeah. Right. And definitely with like military buttons down mm-hmm. the front. That is not me. So mm-hmm. when you understand who you are, mm-hmm. you're freed up to give that other stuff away. And I think one of the interesting things with clothes, and I was a single mom for several years. I was so grateful to people who got rid of the stuff, especially the stuff that, but I just bought it or I spent so much money on it mm-hmm. because as a single mom, I could still wear something nice mm-hmm. because somebody else said, yeah, you know what? That was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to buy that or somebody gave it to me and it wasn't who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think clothes, mm-hmm. Books is the one that hits me hard mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I love a good book. But I remember this is probably like 8 years ago when I took an inventory at my house. I had 12 bookshelves.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, not just bookshelves, not just like a shelf,
uh-huh.
but like 12 yeah. pieces
cases.
Of furniture
yeah.
that were purposely for. I had a bookshelf in our bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I would get books from people and I never wanted to give them away because I thought, you know, somebody gave that to me.
Right.
I need to honor that. Keeping something that somebody gave to you doesn't necessarily honor them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so understanding that I had a problem with books. Mm-hmm. So I've got very strict rules for my books. I keep my 50 favorite books and I've got a list of them, and it takes a lot to knock something off of that list. But ones I know I'm going to reread or something like that. And then I allow myself about a dozen books that I want to read, but I don't get new books until I've read some of those books that are already there. Oh, and okay. I know that sounds like a 12-step program, mm-hmm. and it is, mm-hmm. because that's just what I have to do, because anytime a book comes up, I'm thinking, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And it's interesting enough to buy, but it's not always interesting enough to read. Huh. So I have to know I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
And then I think for a lot of people, it's kitchen stuff. They have a lot of kitchen stuff, and then offices. Yeah. I know lots of people struggle with their offices. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of indecision hanging out around us. Mm-hmm. Little notes on post-it notes, things we keep out on our desk because we may want to do something with it one day. Mm-hmm. It's all these piles of indecisions. And what I've come to notice, at least for myself, is especially in my office, when I have a clean office, I keep a clean office. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I let like a little pile start, boom, mm-hmm. I mean, it just catches on wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I think a lot of people don't understand the decisions or the indecision mm-hmm. behind clutter. So yeah. What are the things that are kind of keeping people cluttery? Like, are they just too busy and they can't make these decisions, or are they just too emotionally tied to stuff? Like, how's this playing out?
I think it depends on what the situation is. So okay. when you have grandma stuff, that's mm-hmm. definitely an emotional attachment.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it may not even be an emotional attachment. It may be a guilt attachment, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is an emotion. I get that. But I think we keep a lot of things for three reasons: fear, guilt, and shame. Mm. Fear is, well, what if I need it someday? Mm-hmm. What if somebody comes over and they see I don't have that anymore?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guilt, again, what if they're going to think I don't love them mm-hmm. if I give that away? And then shame. I spent so much money on it. I can't mm-hmm. give it away. I've got to figure out the right way to use it. So I think those keep us tied up. And so one of the things that has really helped me and a lot of my readers is we have three questions about your clutter. And it may not be a clutter. Let's say three questions about your things. Mm-hmm. Do I love it? Do I use it? Would I buy it again? Hmm. If you can answer yes to all three of those things, it is not clutter. Please mm-hmm. keep that mm-hmm. guilt-free. Enjoy it, love it, use it. Mm-hmm. If you can say yes to one of those things, it's probably still okay, but you may want to reconsider it. If you can't say yes to any of those, mm-hmm. then it's clutter and you have to be forced into a decision. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like accountability really helps. If you are struggling with clutter, find somebody else who is too, mm-hmm. and hold each other accountable and say, hey, I gave these 10 things away this week.
Yeah.
And let them celebrate with you, because it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
But it could be emotion, or it could just be busyness. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so overwhelmed with life that we just let things pile up and then we're overwhelmed by the piles. It's a cycle that will never end.
Yeah. What about, this is a thing that I find kind of clutters my life, the clutter from the intangibles. So whether it's my email box, my desktop, like just the things that I have saved on my desktop that I don't know what to do with, or like photos, like digital photos. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't even go through this thing, so I'm just going to put them in some random folder.
Right.
I mean, I know people who have like cached web pages that they claim they're going to go check out these websites, and they're just like,
they're just not.
I mean, how do you just need to bring in like an IT expert to help you with this? Or how, because I feel like my email box is my to-do list. And so even though my inbox is pretty decent, I have like random file folders that where I just check stuff.
Right. I understand that. So one of the things that a rule that I've recently made for myself that has really, really helped is because the inbox, it'll stress me out. Mm-hmm. Now, I know people who have 5,000 emails.
Can't even deal with it. No.
I would just have to, I'd have to go change my name. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way I could deal with it.
Yeah.
But what I do now is, I think so many of us love the instant gratification of today's email, mm-hmm. but then there are some hard emails that come mm-hmm. in. So we'll do those later.
Right, right.
And so now what I do, I've made myself a hard and fast rule. I don't deal with today's email until all of yesterday's is done with.
Mm.
And so it's a very short leash, but it gives me some time to think if I need to do some stuff or say, this really isn't that important. I don't need to deal with it. They just need a quick response. But also, I don't think people they don't set aside time mm-hmm. to deal with those things.
Yeah.
They think they'll take care of them in the edges and in the ether. And so one of the things I do is, especially with computer files, because that's my death, is I set up an hour of watching Parks and Recreation. It's a mindless show that I can watch, but I can deal with some of that stuff in somewhat of an enjoyable way. But I made an appointment to do that. And if we think we're going to take care of it in our spare moments, who has spare moments?
Yeah.
But when we make an appointment with ourselves and we say, I'm going to give myself a little of a reward. I'm going to do something fun, but I'm going to take care of something that I don't have to put a lot of attention to, but I still need to deal with. And it's the same with photos. If I'm not willing to name the photo, if I'm not willing to put a tag on it, it's probably not that important. So I need to delete it.
Yeah.
So I either need to name it or get rid of it.
Yeah. So that's good. So talk to us about, because I've read other books where they talk about like just taking, going through rooms in your house, like with a black garbage bag and putting all of it. What's a great first step win in conquering clutter for people that are just like, my life's overwhelming. I don't even know where to start. I feel like I could take, you know, 5,000 things out of my house and I wouldn't even know the difference.
Right.
What's something that they can do that they're going to notice an impact right away?
Yeah. So I say deal on the flat surfaces. That's the place. Because, yes, you can go into a drawer that's going to be a black pit of despair. Yeah. I get that. But flat surfaces are going to make the biggest difference quickly. And I'm guessing you've put things on those flat surfaces because they're kind of important. I think a lot of us who deal with clutter are scared to put things away because if we put them away, we'll forget about them.
Right.
And so dealing with those flat surfaces is going to give you that instant gratification. So I say set an alarm, put on some great music, do 15 minutes. So 15 minutes of getting rid of stuff and then 5 minutes of dealing with it. So these papers need to go to the office. These shoes need to go to the bedroom. So it's 15 minutes of decluttering and then 5 minutes of dealing with it.
Yeah, that's good. I think when you were mentioning that too, another thing that always trips me up is the things that need to be filed or whatever.
Because
then I just put them in a pile and I'm like, I'm going to file these. But then I keep going through the same pile because I forget,
did I
go through this pile?
And, you know, you find things in there and you're like, oh, I was supposed to deal with those you know, 2 months ago. So we actually have this really great kind of, it's in between piling it on your desk and putting it into a file. And I have folders 1 through 31, so the days of the month, and then January through December.
Oh, okay.
And so each day I go through it and I have to bribe myself. I'm like a three-year-old child. So what I do is I have either my husband or if one of my kids is over, I get $4 or $5 Starbucks cards and I say, toss them in to random days. And so they toss them in. So every morning I go and see if I get a $5 Starbucks. It's $20 to keep me organized, but it's well worth it. And then that's the day. If it's in that folder, I'm like, I know I have to deal with it that day, but it's not overwhelming. I don't have to deal with a pile of stuff.
Right.
I just have to deal with that day.
Oh, see, that's really good. Okay. So what, Kathy, what would people see? Like when they walk into your house, because I know you start off the book talking about like tiny house examples and how you're like, not everyone's solution is to move into a smaller space or move into a bigger space.
Right.
Some people think I just need more space to put all my stuff. What would you say? I mean, when you walk into your home, what for you are the biggest payoff that you see? I mean, because you travel a lot and stuff and you come home and you can kind of be like, you know, really it is, you know, you want it to be a restful place.
Right.
What would people see? Like, I think people need a vision of what they could be.
I know that my house was a lot of chaos before I really embraced this way of living. And how I think about it, it's so interesting that you say you travel a lot because when I'm cleaning up and everything, I'm thinking, how do I want to enter my home? And I want my home to be the starting place for kind of what's reflected in my heart. I want it to be a place of peace. So when you walk into our house, you may see a couple of pairs of shoes by the front door. You're going to see keys by the front door. We put things there. But you're going to see a couch that is not piled with laundry. You're going to be able to sit on there. And you're going to see a coffee bar set up so that if I want a cup of coffee, it is ready and rocking to go because that serves me. You're going to see a puzzle table, which sounds a little like we're 87 years old, but it's something that my husband and I enjoy doing sometimes. And so we'll set it up. But the key is when we're not doing a puzzle, we'll take it down. That's been a very
different thing. And the puzzle has all its pieces.
All of its pieces. Exactly.
Well, we don't know where the pieces are to this, but we're going to just keep it in case we find them.
Yeah. And so I make sure really the three most important rooms for me are the kitchen, the living room, and our bedroom. Mm-hmm. So sometimes my office, I will admit, you know, when I when I'm gone for a little while, things get shoved in there. I'm, you know, mail mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. But when I come home, I may not even go into my office mm-hmm. until my next work day. But I'm going into my bedroom. Mm-hmm. I'm going into the living room, and I'm going into the kitchen. And I want those to just be places where the chaos of the world is left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so true. Well, any final, just like a, just an encouragement for our audience, those folks that are just like, what really is this going to benefit me? Or, you know, I'm just so, my life is so crazy and I can't, and I want to spend time with my friends. And it's always the draw of like social over, you know, sitting at home going through paperwork.
Or absolutely. And I 100% get that. I don't want to rob you of time with your friends, but maybe I want to rob you of time vegging out in front of the TV mm-hmm. instead of working on a project while you're vegging out and watching TV. Mm-hmm. And here is what I've come to understand. When you're more at peace yourself, it's reflected in your environment. Mm. But also, when your environment is more peaceful, it's reflected in yourself.
Yeah.
And so I've noticed that there is a real correlation with how stressed out I am at home mm-hmm. and the status of the clutter in my home.
Yeah.
Clutter just creates drama in our lives, unnecessary drama.
Yeah.
And so I really see taking care of my clutter as self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is absolutely critical because let me just tell you, I have a very hard time settling down for a quiet time mm-hmm. when everything is chaotic around me.
Right.
And
right.
so I invest that few minutes mm-hmm. just because if you do it every day, it is just a few minutes.
Yeah,
but if you wait, if you do it once a year,
right.
it's a week.
Yeah.
And so I want to care for myself and I want to care for the people I'm living with. I even want to care for my animals. It mm-hmm. really does make a difference in how all of us interact. It's yeah. it's kind of a miracle.
Very cool. And fun ways to get started fast, you guys. Mm-hmm. So I want to give you a heads up. If you hop over to boundless.org for a gift of any amount, you can actually get Kathy's book, Clutter Free. The subtitle is Quick and Easy Steps to Simplifying Your Space, which is so awesome. You guys, you can just start with this. There's a lot of great ideas in here, as well as some pretty cool appendices as well that will give you kind of some great ideas. So look for the book on boundless.org that has the laundry free sofa on it on the cover, and you too will be able to get started. So again, a gift of any amount. This is just really, it is rocking, you guys. We're heading into fall here. This is a great opportunity for you to be like, no, enough. Heading into winter, we are not going to get into this craziness, people. So boundless.org, the book is clutter free. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yay.